One of the tasks of us clergy is to go and to visit different people, and particularly those who are housebound and aren't able to come to church. And there was a priest who went and tried to visit somebody, and normally that person was home, and so when he rang the bell and knocked on the door and there was no answer, he was a bit concerned, but anyway, he went on his way. And a little bit later, he gets a text message from the person that just simply said, Genesis 3:10. The priest had, of course, being a good Catholic, had to look up his Bible and open the scriptures that we just read today. I heard the sound of you in the garden, but I was naked, so I hid. So maybe you've had that experience of getting caught out, you know, with that experience of you've said something, you just realize it was just the completely wrong thing to say. And that experience of embarrassment, that experience of just feeling, you know, quite overwhelmed by what is going on. That is a pretty universal experience. I've read pretty much all of Brené Brown's books. She's a researcher in shame. And the whole experience of that moment of being so overwhelmed, it's what we see in our first reading today, that encounter. We know in Genesis 2 that when God created first the man and then the woman, that he brought them into this intimacy of life with God. There's this beautiful line at the end of chapter 2 that they would walk together in the cool of the evening breeze. You know, just that sense that just being so comfortable with God that you're able just to go on a stroll, to have that sense of being able just to share life together. And you know, I love walking, and so I love particularly, you know, going for a walk with a friend, and that sense of just being able to offer that the sharing of life together as you walk. And that's the description. And everything is going beautifully, wonderfully. Everything is the way that God intended it to be until the beginning of Genesis 3. And we're introduced to this shrewd and crafty kind of slithering beast of the snake. The description isn't negative. In other places in the book of Proverbs, the Hebrew word is arum, and that's sometimes used to describe someone who's wise, someone who is doing well in the ways of wisdom. So that the serpent comes and is described in this way isn't negative. It's morally neutral. And yet the serpent begins to whisper, begins to slither, begins to suggest things that God didn't say, because God's intention was that they would be there in the center of the garden, eating of all of the fruit, all of the trees were available to them. Everything was available. All of the trees are good to eat. You can eat of all of the trees in the garden, except one. There's just that one exception. And yet, that's the one tree that they see. We're told that whatever God looks at is good. Whatever God beholds is good. But instead, the first couple begin to see things in their own eyes. They begin to try and make sense of the world, not according to the wisdom of God, but according to this slithering wisdom of this arum snake, this serpent. And so sin enters into the world. And then when God, it's the cool of the evening again, and God's wanting to go for a walk with this couple. And where are they? Where are you? It's such an awful question. God knows where they are. He knows what's happening. But he knows that something profound has happened within them, because shame has entered in. It's not guilt. Guilt is when you've done something wrong and you're able to identify, yeah, I shouldn't have hit that person. Shame is that experience of feeling bad, of knowing that you are bad, that there's something so fundamentally flawed in your essence that you can't get over that. Shame is always toxic. Shame is always something that begins to slowly destroy us. But if we can begin to isolate that into functions and actions and things that we can change, things that are external to us that we can feel guilty about, then we can change that. But what we see in this is, I heard the sound of you and the voice other than the garden, but I was naked. I was afraid, and so I hid. That's the voice of shame that is speaking. And even now, though, there is this possibility of hope. Even now, if the man, and Adam simply means human one, the human, so it's human, Eve means life. So we have human and life. So if, even in the midst of that, if human life was able to acknowledge our sin, if human life was able to just to say, sorry, Lord, I made a mistake, I did wrong. But instead, what does the man say? That woman you put with me. And how often do we turn the finger of blame to somebody else? And what does Eve say? It was the serpent that you put with me. He's the one that is at fault. And what does the serpent say? Well, he hasn't got a leg to stand on. The whole experience of blame, we're so good at that. We learn as children how to blame, how to point the finger. But instead, if we're able, in the basis of our relationship with God, in the basis of knowing the goodness of God, if we're able to stand, even in our nakedness, and just say, I'm sorry, Lord, everything would have been different. The chances are they wouldn't need to have been exiled from the garden. They would have been able to be trusted because God knew their character. He knew their nature. He knew what they were like. And he was inviting them into this experience. And that question wasn't a question of judgment, of condemnation. It was simply an invitation to a conversation. And so often we step away from that and we hide ourselves in our shame. And yet there is this hope of vindication. There is this hope of life. Because Jesus tells us in the gospel today that his brothers and sisters and mothers are not necessarily people that are in particular hierarchical situation. It's not about our family backgrounds or anything like that. The only criteria that Jesus gives us today of being part of the family of God is doing the will of the Lord. That's all that we need to do. And we will get that wrong at times. We will make mistakes and we will fail. But we will not be exiled as long as in our failures and in our mistakes, we're simply able to acknowledge it, to acknowledge the guilt that we experience that is calling us to repentance, that is calling us to a change of heart, to a different encounter, calling us back into that relationship with the Lord, calling us back to that gentle walk in the breeze of the evening, calling us into that freedom that we can find if we acknowledge and claim our sin. But to the extent that we stay in our shame, to the extent that we get locked in that experience, we can't find any freedom. So the first step is to move beyond I am bad to what I did was bad, to that freedom that we're able to experience by acknowledging that yes, something that I did, an action that I took, a word that I said, a thought that I had, all those things that might be bad, but I am good because I've been created in the very image and likeness of God. That's my nature. That's my destiny. That's my glory of being called into relationship and friendship with the Lord. So today, let's take the example of Mary and her Immaculate Heart, always open to the wonder of God, always open to the will of the Lord. And let's indeed be transfixed and changed by the power of that love, inviting us back into the garden, inviting us to eat of all of the fruit of the trees, to be invited into that life and goodness of life with God.